Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 22 and the 39th verse. See, now that's all he needed. Man, I identify with little babies when they're chattering on, don't they? And how quiet they get when you start feeding them. I'm 48 years old and I'm still the same way. My mouth runs 100 miles an hour until I get fed. Luke chapter 22 in the 39th verse. And Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples and found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." May God add his blessings to those words. As we dwell on them, as we search in them, may we ask him to come before us now. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this day and for these words. And we ask, Father, that you fill our heart with remembrance, that we would take away from here strengthening, that we would go from here changed, even if it's just a little bit, seeking your will and your desire, Father. We thank you for the words that you've given to be spoken. They're not mine. They belong to you. We ask that you hear us as we dwell in your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Now, as we well know, I've said it 1,000 times, I go to these preaching classes and they give you a long list of do's and do nots. And the do nots are longer than the lists of do's. Do not do this, do not do that, do not do this. And most of them are pretty good. Some of them are, don't eat a hamburger in the middle of the service. That's a pretty good one not to do. Especially if you're the one preaching. But the one thing they said to do, and I'm going to upset the norm today, is they say, don't carry pride. I'm sorry, but if you thought that this day was going to escape, you are wrong. Not the biggest one, but it'll work. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You don't want to forget these words. It was just another day. I got up that morning. I was newly married. I had gotten married in July of 2000. Oh, I make a lot of jokes, but I can tell you the day I was married, the time, and I know how many years I've been married because she doesn't let me forget. But I got up that morning. It was a Tuesday to get ready to go to work, and I never thought about anything else other than the fact that I had to go to a conference on that day for construction work, for underground work. I had to get up and go do this, and I didn't even want to go to this dumb thing. Wendy was still working at that time. She was selling National Right Your Congressman. It's still an organization that you can stay directly in touch with your congressman. That's how I met her, but that's a whole nother story. And she was going to go down to Baltimore that day, and I was going to be stuck just outside of West Friendship, Maryland, in Howard County at this conference all day, telling me stuff I already knew how to do, but my boss said, "You're going to go." And so I went. And she went off into the heart of Baltimore. And we were sitting there, and somebody walked in and said, "Hey, a plane smacked one of the World Trade Centers." As a matter of fact, it was my assistant who walked in before anybody else knew, bringing me some plans because I was going to meet with a couple leaders from BG&E during the lunch break to go over a job we were looking at. And he said, "Hey, a plane just hit the World Trade Center." Said it like that. I said, "Well, was it a big plane? Was it a little plane?" He said, "I don't know, a little plane, I guess." That was it. That's how the conversation went. And then suddenly somebody got a hold of a television set and everything changed. And it was no longer just another day. I reached for my cell phone because back in 2001, cell phone technology was young still. I know they've been around since the 60s. My phone flipped open. For those of you who may not remember, when you flipped the phone open, all you had was numbers. No words, no music. And I punched in Wendy's number because I became frightened. When I saw what was going on and heard what was going on, that they were mashing the World Trade Centers up. And for those of you who may not know, it is now almost 10 minutes to 11. By now, they're both gone. Just about 15 minutes ago, Tower 1 fell. And the phone didn't work. Why didn't it work? Because the number one cell carrier that bounced the signal around was on Tower 2. I couldn't get a hold of her. But she knew where I was. She knew where the business was. She knew the owner of the business. And so concentration is now out the window. And we tried to carry on with the conference, and along about lunchtime, she showed up. All I could think about was she was down in Baltimore, and if they aimed at the next World Trade Center in Baltimore, which, by the way, in case you're wondering, is the highest regular octagonal World Trade Center in the world. There are others that are taller, but this one is perfectly round. I knew she was going to be in that area, and I thought, oh my golly. We'd done heard that planes had hit the Pentagon. And we hadn't yet learned about Shanksville. We just knew that the world was crashing. And she came in and we had lunch and she said, "Hey, I'm going to go back to work." I said, "No, you're going to go home. I'll see you when I get there. You take that car and you point it west. And you get inside that house, you lock that door, and you load the guns up in that house." The world had changed. And at the end of that day, I remember going up the highway as hard as that old Ford pickup truck would roll me without getting a ticket. And I got home, she's in tears, and I sat and I watched that stuff. And I asked the same question, and I guarantee you, everybody in here that can remember that day said, "Why? What did we do? It was just another day. It was just another moment in time." I pulled this from 2002 from the Baltimore Sun, and I promise you, you better get your tissues ready. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let the fact that I stand in a church pulpit on this day, and the last time I got to do it and looked it up was 2011. I'm going to read this little bit of an article from the Baltimore Sun from May 28, 2002. Devorah Walk Pontell, filled with bravery and resolve beyond her years, stood in a line yesterday that no woman should ever have to endure. When it was her turn, the 26-year-old widow took a deep breath and walked slowly to the Children of Liberty Memorial at Delaney Valley Memorial Gardens and peeled off a small American flag, revealing the name of her husband, Darren H. Pontell, 26, a Navy lieutenant who was killed September 11th in the Pentagon. Devorah Pontell tenderly touched the raised letters that formed his name, and then gently kissed her fingers if he were alive. The couple, both from Howard County, would have been married for 14 months. The crowd of a few hundred groaned in sympathy. They had come to the Memorial Day ceremony to honor the seven Marylanders killed in the past year in the terrorist attack September 11th and the war on terrorism, as well as thousands of others who have fought and given their lives for our country. See, grieving is a little different for Pontell, who still lives in Gaithersburg in a house she shared with her husband. She had known him since the sixth grade. And the two graduated from Athelton, I guess I'm getting that right, High School in 1993. They didn't start dating until after college, when they decided that they were a perfect match for each other. Now she takes each day as it comes, trying not to be overwhelmed by the almost unbearable weight of sadness. You do these things. You go to work. You spend time with your friends and family to distract you, said Pontell, who is a lawyer in the Howard County State's Attorney's Office. But she still has her husband's bulky dog tags dangling from a chain around her neck. It was given to her 2 days after his body was recovered from the wreckage. It is a way of keeping him close to her heart. I can't imagine I'll ever take him off, she said. We as a body tend to get complacent. All of us, me, myself included. We tend to get complacent about so many things because it becomes part of the norm. Going to church becomes complacent. Well, I have something else to do. Or maybe I didn't feel quite up to myself that day that I didn't make it to church that Sunday. Or I've been meaning to go talk to so-and-so and make sure they're all right and maybe bring them a flower or a cup of soup or a prayer or tell them how much Jesus loves them and how much I do. And every morning starts as just another day. 15 years ago, today, we were needlessly, thoughtlessly, senselessly attacked. And I'm about to say it, so you can grab onto the bench in front of you. See, I'm giving you fair warning. You can roll your fingers up into your fist. I don't care what you do. But we were needlessly, senselessly attacked by a group of people who have marred religion to the point where that religion that they believe in is not a religion of love, it's a religion of hate and death. And don't you ever think it ain't. Why? I struggle with it. But more to the point, I struggle with what took place that morning. And I'm not talking about when flight 77 or whatever hit whatever, or 93 or whatever. I'm talking about the fact that we got up in the morning and we went about our lives as normal, which is okay. We need to remember. Yes, you're right, girl. You need to bring her right up here. We need to remember who we are and what we are and what we have and what we became when we went under that water, when we stood up and said, Jesus, I cannot do this anymore. I can't take this anymore. I'm tired of crying at night. I'm tired of struggling against the world. I'm tired of not understanding anything. And the most important thing is, I know you've been there all these years, and now I finally accept it. And not just another day anymore. We start our day in prayer. I read that scripture and I know it made a few people go, what? I want you to listen to it again, just for a moment. Luke starts his writings when Jesus agonizes in the garden this way. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. Just another day. They didn't know that their world was about to be destroyed. Hey, we're going out with him. He always says a lot of stuff. He talks about a lot of things. Don't know what he's actually saying, but he's going out to pray and we're going to go with him. James says in chapter 4, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go this way or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will. One of my favorite sayings. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow. Good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. I say that down in the city, and people look at me and go, man, you are such a country boy. And I say, well, thank you. We were discussing Friday the virtue of hogmaw and how wonderful it is. And one of the guys in my office, who is a young city boy, said, Paul, you're such a hillbilly. What is a hogmaw? And I explained it to him. Oh, it's wonderfulness. Stuffed into a big stomach and then roasted just right. Sausage and taters and cabbage and spices and yummy! And he turned a little green. He said, you eat that? I said, happily. He said, how do you approach that? I said, every day I approach the day the same way. I live it on purpose. And that's where we mess up. I tell them about church. I tell them about the beauty of knowing Jesus Christ. In Macbeth, Shakespeare writes these words. Bear with me. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps into this petty pace from day to day. To the last syllable of recorded time, and all of our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, breathed Candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Man, I love me some Shakespeare. That don't make sense, does it? Big dumb hillbilly like me, I love Shakespeare. Half the time, I'm not quite sure what he says, but I love reading it anyway. I'll catch it here and there. But that's easy to understand. We have but a short time on this planet. We have but a short time. We are not Methuselah. In my newest class, I am learning the introduction to the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm already starting to have fun with this class. Because the man that stood up there said, we are not here to discuss theology. I said, that's good, because you would have a whole lot of problems out of me. He said, why is that? And I said, every time we get into one of those discussions, I get a notation made in the teacher's comments that I am traditionalist to the point of fundamentalism. Yes, I am. He said, we're going to just look at the Old Testament. We're going to understand one thing. And he said something that struck me, and I'm telling you right now, he made it very clear. He said, God made us as a temple, his own temple, with which to glorify him. We are living temples, but only here for a short period, for a little while. Man, I remember when I was 15. I was going to get my driver's license. I turned 15 on September 23rd, which incidentally is coming up in case you haven't marked it on your calendar. And all I could think about is, man, I'm 15 years old, ran right out, got my learner's permit, and I was all happy with myself. And then I hauled off and got myself in trouble, and my father said, you ain't getting your license when you're 16. But I did. But I had to wait for that whole year. Do you know how long that year was? It was 365 days. Plus 1,000. It was funny the other day. I was singing a song on the way home. Wendy was in the car. And because I'm me and because she is luckily enough to be married to me, I serenade her quite often with love songs of the most quality country and bluegrass you can imagine. And she enjoys it. And my son is sitting right here, heard me say, I would walk a country mile to kiss you. He goes, Daddy. I said, what? He goes, what's a country mile? Oh, son, letteth me explain that to youeth. And I did. I said a country mile is longer than a city mile because back in the day, before the city and the county and the country was almost connected, which it's becoming now, you walked a country mile, you didn't see anything for a country mile. That was a long mile. You go down the city and walk a mile, boy, you'd see hot dog stands and french fry stands and hamburger stands and everything. And he says, why is everything with food with you? Well, a city mile is shorter because there's much more to see. But we're only here for a little bit. Luke started off saying, Jesus went out as usual and led the disciples out to the garden as usual. To them, it was just another day. To them, we woke up. They didn't know what was going on. And yet Luke records that he was so anguished because he did. He knew that tomorrow morning, life was over as they knew it. It was just another day to them. It was just another day, September 11th, 2001. At the end of that day, or maybe the next day, there was a desk in an office with nobody to occupy it. There was a car in a parking garage that nobody would come and get. There was dry cleaning to be picked up that would not be picked up. There was a home that children had to go to because the parents would not be there anymore. And in the state of Maryland, how many's in church today, Greg? 30? Well, that's like the voice from above, isn't it, back here? Take a good look around, brothers and sisters. There's 30 in the church today. In the state of Maryland, 68 people did not come home from just another day. 68, double the amount in here. All walks of life, all ages, all skin colors. They got up that morning, it was just another day. Well, I'm not going to have it. Please stand up. Yes, all right. And I want you to go across the aisles back and forth. And I don't want to hear any talk about dry grass or needing the garden tended or, hey, we got to get out there and clean the nuts up off the parking lot before somebody falls and busts their rear end and most likely it'll be the pastor. Yeah. I want you to put your hand on each other as you meet and say, I love you and I pray for you in Jesus' name. Go on to it now.
I love you and pray for you.
Thanks.
takes a little more to get off.
What's that?
It takes a little bit more
for you.
And by the way, I absolutely love that shirt.
I can do the next deal with Seth. I can't.
What's that? Oh, Star Spangled Banner? Well, you gotta wear it next weekend.
Man, that is pretty. Look at this little girl. Not even a little girl anymore. Why are you so bashful around me?
She's shy.
She's not shy.
She's shy until you like warm up to you.
It's good to see you again, bro.
Good seeing you.
Real good. It is?
Yeah.
Well, how about that? I have to have the boys call their grandparents today. I'm too old to be a grandparent. And it was just another day until, from Mark chapter 16, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. So she went and told those who had been with him, who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. It was still just another day. And yet, 2,000 years later, it's not just another day. This day and time will not be just another day. It will always be a moment to remember. But how you remember it defines who we are, what we are, and what we are trying to do. I challenge you to remind yourselves. Using this day and the 3,000 that went 68 from Maryland to remind yourself that every day is not just another day. It is another chance for you to move one thing in that day. Pick up the phone, make a ride, have a prayer, give a thought, write a note, so that that will be the honor of each day. Each day. I ask you to stand now, please. because I also, while an American, I am a Christian first. And I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life, liberty to all who believe. Amen. It's just another day. Never let it be so again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, a day wrought with emotion. And so we ask, Father, that you would reach out to those suffering from that and bring them peace. This will never be just another day to them again ever until they close their eyes. Let us be reminded by the fact that everything seen in the Bible could sometimes be termed just another day. Jesus went out to the garden as usual, and yet it wasn't as usual. It was to prepare. And then they went to the tomb as usual to take the spices, to do what the custom demanded. Nothing in the Christian life is just another day. It's another chance, another moment to wake up praising your Son, praising the glory and sharing it with someone in however way you want us to do it. Prayer, verse, song, phone call. Because we know the day will come. Father, strengthen us as we go from here. And put this in our heart as a reminder that upon the acceptance of Jesus in our heart, it never becomes just another day. Thank you, Father. Bring peace to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.